now going to progress to some steps which are a bit more difficult.
Relax and enjoy yourself.
Ready, set, and begin.
There's something curious about this broadcast.
It is quite bad, but it is good for you.
On with the show!
You have got what appears to be a dynamite sound.
That's right.
Skinny little boy from Cleveland, Ohio, come to chase your women and drink your beer.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only
crazy
Frank.
Oh, yeah. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages. Hello. Welcome to the program. It is another installment of Crazy Frank Live, that time of the week where we gather round the campfire, kids, and we talk about the times of yore, where with internet radio, before that, you had regular radio, and radio DJs would play the songs you want to hear. Not really, though. Did they ever? I used to think when I was a kid that they did. When people, you know, I used to think it was like TV. You called a radio station. Yeah, you got the Wolfman. Who we talking to, baby? And then you'd say, oh, hey, Wolfman, I love your show. Could you play whatever the popular song of the day was? Yeah, baby, right for you. Can I send it out to somebody? Somebody special. No, because I'm a loser. Yeah, could you send it out to Molly? This is a chicken. In third period English, I'd really like to bang, but I don't have the balls to say anything to her. Yeah, no problem, baby. And then play the song, you know, whatever it was. That's the way it worked on TV. But in real life, I'm 49 years old, so even when I was a teenager, with limited exception, radio DJs had not a lot of leeway when it came to what they played. In fact, one of my favorite stories of radio was a buddy of mine named John. They called him Big John. They still call him Big John. He's probably 10 or maybe 15 years older than me. So he started radio and did really started his the first 10 years or so of his career. There was no radio automation. You had to cue up records and, you know, put pennies on the arm to keep the thing balanced and the whole bit. WKRP style. You know, you ran actual carts. They were essentially 8-track. You put the commercials and the sounders and all the things that play in between the songs were on these. Essentially, you didn't have to rewind them. That's the great thing about the cart. It was like an endless loop of whatever it was. You'd put it in, and then when it was done, it would stop. And then you were basically queued up and ready to go again. But he hailed from those days. And the first radio station he worked in that had a radio automation system, they asked him, what do you know about radio automation? And he's like, yeah, sure, no problem, you know. No problem! Although he knew nothing about it. But he really wanted the job. And he was afraid that if he said he didn't know anything about it, well, then there was no way he was going to get the job. So he did what most hardworking Americans do to get the job. He lied. Yeah, sure. So he said his first few shifts, he had no idea how to work the software. All he knew how to do was start it and stop it. That was it. He knew how to make it start and how to stop it. He had no idea how to put music in or change the stuff that was playing. But it was an interesting phenomenon. He said people would call in with their requests, but the songs people were requesting were going to play anyway. And I forget what the format was, so these aren't actual examples, but, you know, they'd say, oh, hey, could you play that new Bruce Springsteen song? Sure, coming up in just a bit. And he said, with limited exception, it was coming up. Because that's just the way the radio station was programmed to play the hits. So when you were calling the radio station, when we were kids, calling the radio station asking them to play music,
admittedly, the stuff we were asking for was not some obscure stuff. It was the stuff we had first discovered on the radio and had been hearing on the radio. And we're hoping to hear again because we had our boombox set up with blank tape in there, ready to record over it. So I don't know that radio ever really worked the way we thought it did. I know when I first started in radio, my first gig, I was 12 years old. I was helping out at this. I wanted to do anything just to get in the door. And in the basement of the station, they had all these albums. And the guy that I was essentially the assistant for, he was kind of crippled up, and he couldn't get up and down the stairs. So my job was to go down into this dingy-ass basement and get records for him and bring him up. And the way they had that set up, because, again, this is before radio automation, they had little, you see them at garage sales, those little round stickers with different colors. And they had those on the different records to categorize the tempo and, you know, so you were supposed to play like a green record, then a yellow, then a blue, then a green, and, you know. And then if there were tracks on the record you absolutely were not supposed to play, it would say, do not play these, or they'd have like lines on them. So you knew which records or which songs on which records not to play. It wasn't the DJ making these decisions. I mean, the DJ had the leeway to pick one of the two or three songs off that record to play, but then had to write it down in a paper log, and then you also had to go through the paper log and see had this been played earlier. There was a lot of paperwork. It was really a lot of... And then you had to make sure the equipment was all working right. There was a lot going on. So anyway, my first radio gig was to go down in the basement and get the albums for this dude and then bring him up, because he couldn't get up and down the stairs. But even then, you know, people would call and they'd say, hey, could you play such and such? And he's like, yeah, baby, I get that on for you. And then he'd be like, I ain't playing that. I'm not going to play that. Or, you know, you're just in time. Because he was going to play those songs anyway. So if someone had, I say all this to say, if someone was asking for something that was really out of the, essentially what they do with K-Bag, they call in and they say, yeah, man, you got Enough's Enough off this album and la da 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 da. And I don't even have it. But we'll dig it up and we'll find it and we'll play it. And probably 7 out of 10 times, people are like, fuck yeah, this kicks ass. This kicks ass. I love it. So that's the magic of K-Bag. Doing radio the way the way most of us thought it really worked, but didn't. We were all essentially bullshitted. Imagine that. Big corporations bullshitting us. Just like the voice track, where it sounds like the person is in the studio, but they're really not. It's a recording. Ooh. Call now. Ooh, I want to call and talk to Casey Kasem. He's in town. Casey Kasem isn't in your town. Never was. Maybe he was on his way somewhere else and had to stop and take a piss. Then he was in your town. That was it. I'm Casey Kasem. Next up on America's Top 40. So that's what we do on K-Back. We play your requests weekday mornings from 9 until noon. Central Standard Time. Some of you are probably wondering, well, why the fuck are you not playing music now? And that's because on Thursdays, between 7 and 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, we do this thing called Crazy Frank Live. And the reason this even happens is for years, people told me, dude, you should do a podcast. And I thought, well, I don't know what the subject would be. I don't know what I would do. Dude, just do you, man. And I thought, who would want to listen to that? Evidently, people want to listen to it, so I keep doing it. I've yet to make any money on it, but that's kind of most things in my life. I do lots of things that people seem to enjoy, but it doesn't really make any money. But I guess I really haven't tried either. I keep meaning to go back and look and see how many people are actually going back and downloading and listening to this podcast thing, but I really don't know. I just kind of open the mic and whatever falls out of my head falls out of my head. Like, I had zero plan. Just set up. Time to do it. Open a mic. Let's start yakking. Other podcasts, you know, they have guests, and they have my good friend Dave Holly. He's very, very regimented and structured, and he's got guests lined up, and he's got questions, and he's an articulate speaker, and he hardly ever fucks up. And when he does fuck up, you don't notice because he's so seamless. The Velvet Fog. This is not that show. But it also tends to be a little on the dry side, I think. I was on it once, and the only reason why I did it was because, and I've had other people ask me, ooh, you want to come be on my podcast? No, no, I don't. But he was like, dude, you should come. And I really liked Dave, so I did. I went and I hung out with him. He did a little podcast. It was at some brewery. He had his, you know, recording thing set up, and I don't know. Yeah, I did it. So you can check out the Dave Holly Hour podcast for my interview from a couple of years ago. Edge of Your Seat Entertainment. Or you could go to kbackradio.com and you could listen to all of these. Over 50 of these now in the can. Everyone a little worse than the last. I had thought to myself, well, if I do this for a year, I'll probably get really good at it. Nope. Nope. Haven't found a direction. Haven't, but that's fine. That's fine. It's like the Seinfeld of radio. There is no purpose. Hey, Frank, was just curious on what it would take to have syndicated programs on your station like Full Metal Jackie or Lou Brutus of Hard Drive Radio. They're always interested. Are interesting to listen to, and you're feeling gracious enough, could you get, hang on, I was reading the preview and I ran out of preview. Boop doop 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 doop. Here we are. Okay, from the beginning again. Hey, Frank, just curious on what it would take to have your have syndicated programs on your station like Full Metal Jackie or Lou Brutus of Hard Drive Radio. They're always interesting to listen to, and if you're feeling gracious enough, could you play Great White All My Love off the Great Zeppelin album? Would be a great birthday tune to listen to. And thanks for the sticker. Swill from Goodwin. So he wanted Great White, All My Love. All My Love. Well, I'll have to dig that up. All My Love off the Great White. Well, oh, you know what? I can't load music while I'm doing the podcast thing because I'm recording. But I can look and see if I have this Great White album. I can do that for you because I love you. Swill from Goodwin. Great White. And I really like Jack Russell. One of the handful of rock and roll people I've had the good fortune to meet in my illustrious radio career. Let's see. This is what we have from Great White. 30 years live. Absolute hits. Back to the Rhythm. Can't Get There From Here. Elation, Eye of the Tiger, Full Circle, Great White, Greatest Hits, Hooked, Once Bitten, Psycho City, Rising, Saturday Night Special, Shot in the Dark, and Stick It. Those are the albums we have in the archive. And then we'll go to iTunes, where somebody has sent me an iTunes card. That's how we keep getting new music loaded to KBAC. People say, how can you afford to buy all this new music? Well, I can't. I can't. So people send me iTunes cards, and then that's how I get the new music. Great White What was the name of the song?
Save All Your Love.
All of My Love. Great White. All of My Love. It's probably a Led Zeppelin cover of theirs, huh? All My Love Live. Great Zeppelin, a tribute to Led Zeppelin. Boy, it's live. There's also All My Love, Great White, Recover, Deluxe Edition. I tend to gravitate towards the non-live ones. Let's do a just a tip. Just a tip to see what this sounds like. This one says, well, it doesn't say it's not the live. It just doesn't say live after it. That's what it sounds like here.
Within the glow that weaves a cloak of a lie, that runs a thread that has no end. For many hours.
That sounds live.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all the same thing. All right, we're going to pull the trigger on that. Spend the 99 cents for Swill and, no, yeah, Swill and Goodwin. I can buy it. I just can't convert it and load it into the system until after we're done with the podcast. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy it and download it, copy it over to the trap folder, and then if I remember, we'll get her dropped in the stack and play. Usually I do just a tip with these things, but it's Christmas time, and it's Swill from Goodwin. So how do you not play his music, right? Like Jack Russell. I mean, there are a lot of wins. There's a lot of checks in the plus column here. And I'm in a good mood. I'm probably high on paint thinner, too. That probably attributes to my mood. Snowed in most of the United States, really the Midwest portion of the United States anyway, under this winter storm kind of blowing through. It's currently negative 13 is the temperature. Fahrenheit. Just in case you're listening from someplace other than the United States and you're like, 13 degrees Celsius. Oh, Fahrenheit. So I've been fiddling away with some guitar project stuff that I've had kind of in the back burner. And I'm kind of enjoying this this most recent one. I have a few different guitars that I've pieced together over the years. And what I do is they kind of morph. I'll put something together and I'll play with it and I'll, yeah, okay, well, I don't really love that. And then I'll swipe some pieces off that and switch them around and that sort of thing. So I've been, and I like to do woodworking stuff. I'm not very good at it. People will see the stuff on Facebook and they'll say, hey, Crazy Frank, you should make me a guitar. Ah, no, because you know what? The stuff that I make, it's functional, but I don't, everything that I've ever built is really more of a, let's call it a prototype, than it is a production quality item. Everything's very prototype-y. It's not ready for full-on production. There could be bugs and kinks in this system. All right, so Swell from Goodwin asked about what would it take to get syndicated programs on the station. Well, here's the thing with syndicated programming. Back before the days of the, and I'm just telling you my position on this. Now, I'm not saying my position is right or wrong. I'm just telling you this is how I feel about it. Syndicated programming was something that was really valuable. In before the internet, when the only way you could hear a syndicated program is if you listened to a station that would carry that syndicated program, and you lived within the service area of that radio station. For instance, let's say you were listening to a syndicated show on The Crow. Locally, that's a rock station, The Crow. You lived around here, you could hear it. That's how many of us heard things like Rick Dees or Casey Kasem, that sort of thing. But in a given market, there was only one radio station that played it. So the only way you could hear, you know, Casey Kasem or Howard Stern, you know, another syndicated guy, Rick Dees, those are the only ones that really come to mind. Howard Stern, Casey Kasem, Rick Dees. You had, I suppose, Bob and Tom. The only way you could hear these shows is by listening to the one station in your market that ran it, because they had market exclusivity. If everybody carried it, then what's the point, right? So the thing with syndicated programming is, now that we have the internet, you're not forced to listen to me. If you want to listen to the Bob and Tom show, you don't even have to listen to B102.7. That's the local rock station that carries Bob and Tom in the morning. If you wanted to listen to Bob and Tom, you could go to like bobandtom.com or whatever the hell it is and listen to that show without having to listen to a radio and without having to listen to the local commercials or any of that shit. You just go, boom, right to the source. It's kind of like Netflix. You don't have to wait for it to come on TV. You can just go to Netflix and watch it anytime you want. So you're flipping through the stations and your local CBS affiliate. Tonight, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you know, Burl Ives narrated Frosty the Snowman or whatever the fuck. You could wait until it comes on tonight at 6 p.m. Only on, you know, Fox 7 or whatever the fuck it is locally. Or you could go to Netflix or one of the half dozen streaming services and just go look at it. Go watch it anytime you want on demand. And that's the way most, if not all, of these streaming shows are set up. You want to listen to one of these streaming guys? You can just go right to their website and listen to their show. Easy as that. And it's basically a podcast. So if you can do that, then what's the value to the KBAC listener for me running it? That's where I come back to. I'm always thinking about where is the value to the listener. I mean, I could have some guy talking that you can hear anywhere, anytime, or I could just play music. So I've kind of just, if I can't have a voice that's exclusive, for instance, Ron Keel has the Streets of Rock and Roll. And he said to me one day, he said, well, would you like to carry the Streets of Rock and Roll? I said, Ron, it doesn't make any sense. Aren't you on Sunny Radio at Sundays? He said, no, I'm not on there anymore. He said that he had some people complain. And I don't believe that. I think John Small's wife just didn't like it, I think is what happened there. It made him take it off. Because anybody that had anything to do with Chuck Brennan, in her mind, is the devil. So I said, well, you're not on there anymore? He says, no. I said, well, but people can listen to the Streets of Rock and Roll off your... He's got like a Patreon thing, and he's on at least two or three other streaming radio stations where the people can hear it. So if they could hear it all over the place, then why would they listen to it on KBAC? So I made a deal with them. I said, I tell you what, if we're the first place that it airs, then I'll run the Streets of Rock and Roll. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. And he said, okay. And for a few months anyway, until he went on his January hiatus, we ran the Streets of Rock and Roll, the first place you were going to be able to hear it. Without being a member of his Patreon people got to listen to it the day before if you went to his Patreon page. And I think that, you know, he liked to do that because he was hoping to drum up some exposure for his Patreon. He's got a lot of fans out there, and he wants to let them all know how they can get the insider scoop with the old Patreon thing. So then he took his hiatus, and when he came back from his hiatus, he launched his own Ron Keel radio station. It was some other guy that does streaming radio, basically rebranded one of his channels with the Ron Keel radio. And he's like, yeah, thanks for continuing to carry the streets of rock and roll. And I said, well, Ron, I'm not going to carry it, because why would you debut your streets of rock and roll on KBAC if now you have your own station? It only makes sense for you to debut it on your own station. So that's why I don't run any syndicated programming. And I think the Ron Keel Radio, they run syndicated programming. They got, I don't know, like the D. Snyder thing and the, I don't know, maybe Joe Elliott or somebody. I don't know. I don't pay real close attention. But what it is in a nutshell is, if you can hear it everywhere else, why would I bother running it? Why would I go through the hassle of running it if you can hear it everywhere else? That's, if I'm going to, for instance, let's say you live in a town that's got 6 hamburger stands in it and you want to open a restaurant. The only way it makes sense to open yet another hamburger stand is if you somehow make that hamburger different from the other hamburger stands. I mean, let's face it, if you're in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, there are a lot of places you can get a burger. But they opened Five Guys Burgers and Fries because they thought, you know what? I think Five Guys brings something different. A different philosophy, a different recipe, a different approach. And it's genuinely, you know, my favorite burger in town. I had 2 favorite burgers. It used to be I liked Fuddruckers and Five Guys for 2 different completely reasons. Five Guys just has that down-to-earth, greasy burger, kind of a just delicious, well-done, but still juicy burger kind of a thing going on. Almost like a, I don't want to say deli burger, but it was kind of that sort of a New York burger kind of experience thing. Delicious burgers, but not a gourmet burger by any stretch of the imagination. Just a real good, honest American hamburger. The Fuddruckers burger was more of like an artisan bun, and the meat was a little more on the, and you could sit down, and it was a, had kind of a vibe. And what I liked about Fuddruckers is they had this buffet, essentially. It wasn't supposed to be a buffet, but I treated it as such with all the toppings, you know, pickles and onions and peppers and all this stuff. And after the Rona, when they came back after the Rona, they were really starting to get skimpy on that stuff, and the quality slid, and it just kind of, yeah. And then they eventually closed. But I say all that to say, you know, like the syndicated programming, if I'm not able to bring something fresh to the approach, then why bother? It's kind of like if KBAC started and we played the exact same music as The Crow and The Bee. Well, then what the fuck is the point? There's 2 radio stations in this market. If we're playing the same, you know, top 40 rock songs over and over and over again, the fuck's the difference? Why would you listen? Why? Why? So you got to give the people something that they can't get anywhere else. And syndicated programming, because of the internet. Now, if this is, again, if we were a terrestrial radio station and you could only hear it in this market, on KBAC, then it made perfect sense. But since these streamers, you can listen to any other streaming station and listen to the same show. So it doesn't, it, that's why. Some people feel like they need to fill the day full of, I mean, think about this for a second. When you listen to a radio station, do you really give a fuck what the guy is saying in between the songs? I mean, do you really? The guy's not there, so it's not like you can call and make a request. Because, I, let's face it, I could, for a couple $100 a month, I could get somebody to voice track shows on KBAC. Hey, you're rocking with a wild man, blah, blah, blah. Hey, let me tell you about the Five Guys Burgers and Fries. It's really tasty. Hey, let me tell you about the mall walk you got going on with Lifescape. Hey, let me tell you about, you know, they do their little yuck, yuck, yuck thing. And that was This Is. But does that really add any value to the experience if you're just looking to listen to rock music? No, I think it just gets in the fucking way. The difference would be, like when I do the morning show, whether you like me rambling on or not, you can say, hey, could you play a song for me? And I'm actually here, and I'll actually play it. That brings value in my head and in the head of many of our listeners, most of which, well, many anyway, probably would like it if I would just shut the fuck up. Why don't you save the long-form radio for your little podcast thing and just shut the fuck up and play music? Every now and then, as I'm doing the show, I'll have someone send me that very text. Shut the fuck up and play some music. And they're not wrong. They're not wrong. I mean, it's easy for me to get butthurt and you know, oh, fuck you then. But they're not wrong. So that's kind of been my philosophy about adding voices to the station. If the voices aren't able to do something for you, then what the fuck are they there for? Like, if I wasn't able to play your requests and I was just going to play whatever the fuck I was going to play, then why do I need to stop and talk? Why do I need to stop the music? I don't. Now, if we had somebody that wanted to be on the show that you couldn't get anywhere else and they were, I don't know, bringing some insight or were entertaining or whatever in between the songs, then I get that. But then we would need to have that exclusivity. And I don't think we got the cash to get anybody exclusive. So that's kind of where KBAC is. I've seen what corporate radio has done to radio in general. And that is they get a bunch of syndicated shows so they don't have to pay anybody because they get these shows on trade. It's one of the reasons why these stations have 10 minutes worth of commercials. Like, you know what? It's more than 10 minutes worth of commercials. I think the last time I tried to listen to the B, they had two 7-minute stop sets. So they did a commercial break twice an hour. You got 14 minutes of commercials in an hour. You take the talk breaks and the liners and sweepers out of that, you're lucky to get 42 minutes of music in an hour. The rest of it is somebody yakking or the fucking commercials. That's kind of the way it is. That's kind of the way it is. Likewise, if you do syndicated stuff, how do you make it differently and better? Well, really, I mean, if you... Here's the thing, and this is why syndicated exists. Syndicated shows exist because radio stations don't have the money to hire somebody to fill in the blanks. That's why syndication exists. And this is a peek behind the radio curtain. There's a lot of dogma attached to radio. And by dogma, I mean people do things because that's just the way you've always done it. Case in point, when I first moved to Watertown, somebody was telling me about the sheriff, actually. The sheriff of the county. What is it, Coddington County up there? Anyway, the sheriff of the county, super nice guy. He comes in, and I said, so what brings you in today? He says, well, you may know about the Kranzberg Parade. And I'm like, I don't fucking know nothing about the Kranzberg Parade. I just got here in January. I don't even know what the hell a Kranzberg is. So he's telling me about this Kranzberg Parade and how he wants to inform the people, the listening public, that there are like three different ways to get to Kranzberg. And you should consider an alternate route when going to Kranzberg because the main drag gets backed up as hell. Gets crazy backed up, the main drag. So he's like, you could go these other routes and save the, you know, the congestion. So as he's saying this, I'm like, Well, what the hell is going on in Kranzberg that thousands of people go there? He says, well, the Kranzberg's got a population of, like 300 people. But for the 4th of July, about 4,000 people show up for this parade. So I asked him, I said, what happens in this parade that like 4,000 people are showing up? He says, well, and this is the sheriff. This is a law enforcement official. He says, are you familiar with like Mardi Gras, right? I said, yeah. He said, the 4th of July Kranzberg parade is like a hillbilly Mardi Gras. I hope I don't offend anybody by saying hillbilly Mardi Gras, but that's essentially what it is. I said, and I think the guy's name was Toby. I said, Toby, you're going to need to elaborate a little bit for me here. He says, well, you know, you get your typical half-naked young girls throwing beers into the crowd and people are throwing beads at her. And I don't know, maybe she doesn't have as many clothes on when the parade's done as when she started. And I said, and you're okay with this? He says, as long as nobody gets too rowdy, it's fine. This was the fucking sheriff. So immediately now, you know me, I got to get in on this. What? There's going to be scantily clad young women dancing around and people are throwing beer from a float? I got to be a part of this. So after I get done with my show, I go to the general manager. Brenda's her name. I go to the general manager of Watertown Radio and I said, hey, so what are the plans for this Kranzberg parade? And she says to me, well, we don't do parades. What do you mean you don't do parades? This thing sounds like it's a huge deal. Oh, yeah, she says, because she's got that whole, Minnesota, South Dakota, oh, yeah, you betcha kind of a. She says, a lot of people go there, And I'm like, yeah. Oh, it's very popular. It's very popular with the kids, she says. Well, we got to be a part of this, man. We're a radio station. Well, I tell you, if you want to go, you sure can take the PT Cruiser and go. And I said, yes, I want to go. She's like, you got to find somebody to go with you. So I ask everybody in the building if they will go with me. And all of them are like, nope, 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 nope. Well, Jeff Anderson, who was a fart away from retirement, was on KSDR AM. And he had been at this, worked for this outfit for years and years and years. And he had been trying to retire for a couple of years, but they wouldn't let it because they couldn't find anybody to replace him. Because he was an animal, man. He did the morning show on the AM station. He did, then he went out at night and did high school sports, play-by-play. The guy was a machine. I loved it. I loved him dearly. Still do. I haven't talked to him in years, but loved him dearly. Jeff Anderson. So I knock on Jeff. Jeff is like, he's probably in his 60s, probably a tall, slender guy and just always smiling. He looked like a very thin Bill Clinton, which was funny because he was a very Republican-y kind of guy. So when I would say he looked like a very slim Bill Clinton, I don't think he liked that because he didn't like Bill Clinton. But he had kind of that, that sort of a good old boy look to him. So I said, Jeff, you want to go with me to this parade? Oh, in Kranzberg. Yeah, here they have they get a little rowdy out there. I said, well, that's what I'm counting on. Can I count on you to go with me, buddy? He's like, oh, sure. I don't see why not. So I go to the, and we decide that he's going to drive the PT Cruiser. And then I'm going to be in the back, and we're going to throw stuff out. But I couldn't get the station to pony up any money to buy stuff to throw out to the people. So we had a bunch of these old, CDs that people would send to the station, usually, from record companies and shit. They want you to check out the music that nobody ever listens to. We had boxes and boxes of these. So I'm like, we're going to throw these out. Hey, have some CD? Whatever. Just so we had something to throw out. And then we had a couple of cases of beer. So then we would, I would just like chuck beers to people. So the float in front of us, and this is no lie, is a 1950 Chevrolet pickup truck. And it was all like right out of the farm field. That that cool like rusty patina to this 1950 Chevrolet pickup truck. In the back of this truck are these two little blonde gals, probably 19, 20 years old tops. And they got legs like a giraffe. I mean, long leg. And I'm not even a leg guy, but holy shit, these gals had some long-ass legs on them. They were wearing these Daisy Duke shorts, the pocket sticking out. You know, you can see the pocket sticking out from the front. And these little tiny tank tops, and they were wearing these, like, trucker hats. And the name of their float was Man Bait. Man Bait. And they had like an empty beer can on a fishing string line. And they were just kind of swinging it around. But they had cases of actual beer and they were throwing beers out. So two smoking hot chicks in front of us throwing. And I can't see much of this because I'm in the back of the PT Cruiser with the hatch open, handing out CDs and stuff. But Jeff is driving and nearly wrecked us like three times because he's not even paying attention. He's just staring at these two chicks. Because that's all he sees the whole parade. Are these chicks bent over getting beers out of this, these coolers in the back of this 1950 Chevrolet pickup truck? But the story comes back to this. Here's a station that never did it because they were trapped in dogma. They were trapped in this cycle of, well, this is just what we've always done. We're not going to do anything new. This is just what we've always done. So as radio stations start having to tighten the margins and they start letting live people go because they're not making the money they used to make, and automation, computers and all that stuff make it a lot easier to run a radio station, you don't need a guy in the booth to plug in the carts and to do the paper logs and schedule the you just don't need somebody. You just, a radio station can run pretty much hands off. But they've always had that voice in between the songs. So that's where syndication comes in. They say, well, we get the voice and it doesn't cost us anything. Now, you'll say, how does it not cost anything? Because a lot of these syndicated shows do something called a barter, which is they will provide to you the syndicated programming and you provide them so many minutes an hour or so many hours a day of open inventory to run their commercials. So that's how that works. The radio stations get to keep a voice on to make it sound like somebody's actually there because they're trying to fool you into thinking there is someone there. And then it doesn't cost them anything because all they got to do is play three more minutes worth of commercials that hour and they got a free show to play. And then they hire some high school kid or some board monkey or some very overworked radio personnel to load these things in day after day after day. Although, if you play your cards right, you know what you're doing, you can actually get these things to the computers to grab this stuff and load it automatically, and nobody has to do anything. It just grabs them out of a Dropbox, loads it into the scheduler, and off it goes. So that's the peek behind the curtain. Corporate radio does a lot of stuff just because it's what they've always done. It's like the machine's running, and then the operators walk away. And then people are like, I don't know how any of this shit works. What do we do? I don't know. We just do what we've always done. And it keeps just pumping out widgets. So that's why they do it. And that's why KBAC doesn't do it that way. Do a quick Google search, look up Ashley for the Arts. It's in a town in Arcadia, Wisconsin. Town is about 3,500 people. The festival draws about 15 to 20,000. Yeah, so stuff gets popular, and then you're just like, what do you do? Pew, off you go. This says, wow, Ron Keel canned K-Back himself and walked away and now started his own Ron Keel radio talk about self-centered son of a bitch. Here's the thing. Ron and I had distinctive differences in the direction we thought that K-Back needed to go. I felt that staying local and staying hyper-local and being loyal to our audience, our local audience, was going to build value for our advertisers. If I get on the show weekday mornings and I tell you to swing into Taco John's or go to Five Guys Burgers and Fries or call Ready Towing if you need a tow truck or go see our good friend Wally and Susan and sometimes Phil at My Mechanic. When you need those goods or services and you're local here, you're probably going to use those goods and services. And it's worked out that way. People do. I've always wanted to treat K-Back as a local radio station because I knew we had to come up with a way to make money. And the only way we were going to make money is if we were appealing at some level to advertisers. And the best way to be appealing to advertisers is be able to send people to them. And I also knew that places like Coke and Pepsi and these big corporate, you know, Ron was looking at like we're a nationwide, we're a global radio station. And while that's true from a technical aspect, we certainly don't have a global audience. We got Tom in Cork, Ireland. We've got some people in Russia and a guy in a handful of listeners in Canada, but not enough listeners where it's going to be attractive to, it would be anywhere remotely attractive to a national advertiser. Because you just don't call Coke or Pepsi or somebody and have them buy advertising. That advertising is purchased through advertising agencies. And advertising agencies make their buying decisions based on Nielsen ratings. Something that at present, we can't get because Nielsen will only rate terrestrial stations. And the reason Nielsen will only rate terrestrial stations is to get rated on Nielsen costs about $10,000. And your typical garden variety internet streaming radio station isn't going to spend $10,000. The people who do spend $10,000 per book, per ratings book, are people like Town Square Media and Midwest Communications. And how upset do you think those guys would be if one day the Nielsen book came out and they found out they were getting their asses handed to them by some dude in his basement with a streaming radio station? They don't want that. They definitely do not want that. Because then it dispels the myth that, you know, that, wow, we got gazillions of people listening to us. When they really don't. They really don't. They don't have any more people listening to those stations than I have listening to this. But the perception is there. And rating K-Back with the Nielsen. Even, you know, we came up, and I offered, boy, when we first started, I said, I begged the Nielsen people. I said, I'll pay you. I'll pay the 10 grand. I will sell everything that I own. And I will get the 10 grand. I want to be rated. I want you to have those solid numbers. And they're like, we are not rating streaming-only stations. And they haven't changed that position. So the only way you're going to get on the radar of ad agencies is to have a Nielsen rating. Nielsen or Eastland, those are the two ratings, the recognized rating companies in town. Used to be Arbitron, and you had, but Nielsen bought the Arbitron people. But it's a anyway. That's this is definitely a market that's rated by Nielsen, and it was something that they hadn't done in a long time. It wasn't until K-Bad came to town. And we knew when we started K-Bad that we had to get rated with Nielsen. We had to do it because we had to prove that people were listening to KBAT. So we brought the Nielsen back because we did it. Then the other stations felt like they had to do it as well. They avoided it for many years because they thought, well, why do we need to pay these people? We don't have to prove who's number one and who's number two because you only got two companies in the market that essentially own the radio waves. But we brought the Nielsen book in, and they've been back on it ever since, and they've been battling it out with their ratings. And I would love to get rated. But that was the difference with Ron and I, the vision. I felt like we needed to stay local and keep focused on, you know, like the bike nights and do local things in our community. Like local radio gives it that feel. And I think Ron felt like that was too small time. He wanted to be, well, because the guy is an international dude. So I'm not hating on the guy. I'm not throwing shade. We had philosophical differences on that. And Ron stuck around for the better part of a year. But, you know, there wasn't a lot of money, man. The whole thing was circling the drain. Everybody needs to eat, you know. So there was me, there was Ron, there was Crash, there was the Rev. There's four of us. And we were on the hook for that 8th and Railroad studio for over $1,000 a month. So we had our streaming costs, we had equipment costs, we had rent. The utilities and stuff were all included in that. That was nice. But still, it was $1,250 a month is what we paid for that. But, yeah, there you go. So I don't know that I can blame him for leaving. Fuck, the guy stuck around for a year. He wasn't making any money. He had other shit to do. So, I mean, yeah. No, I don't hate the guy for, and then he's started his, and you know, I hate to say he started it. I think what he did is that there's an outfit that runs, you know, a handful of streaming stations, and they said, hey, let's launch one and call it the Ron Keel Radio Network or whatever the hell they call it. And yeah, some people thought that I would be upset about it, but not in the slightest, because the Ron Keel audience is the Ron Keel audience. And the people that were listening just for Ron Keel, they left a long time ago. They left when Ron Keel left. Make no mistake. So no, I wasn't concerned about it. He likes to preach to the choir. And why shouldn't you? The choir is where the true believers are. Speaking of great radio stations, back in the day, I'm originally from Minot, North Dakota. There was a rock station, KKOA. Their motto slogan was, winning is easy on KKOA or double KOA. They took requests, their live DJs, before it all went to recorded and satellite. Speaking of requests, how about a great song from back in the day, Don't Call Us, from Sugarloaf? I'm pretty sure we have that one. Don't call us, we'll call you. Sugarloaf. Yeah, we'll drop that in a stack for you. What's this guy say? You're right, but you need to diversify your advertisers. You've only got a couple of categories filled for ads. Right, we need a salesperson. You're right. Here's what I've learned, and this goes back to another thing. Painful lesson about radio. What you think might be true may not be. That's why, you know, when we get into issues of medical science or engineering or that sort of thing, I'm a pretty smart guy. If you believe the tests and shit that I've taken over the years and the scholastic placements and all these things, I'm probably above average according to these tests, although I tend to think these tests are probably a little wonky as well. Because I don't consider myself to be a bear of anything other than average brain. But along with, you know, the illusion that we had about how radio worked, I also had the illusion that if you had a ton of listeners, you would get a ton of advertisers. I thought it just made perfect sense. I'm going to just do my show. I'm going to do my thing. We're going to get a whole bunch of listeners, and then advertisers will just throw money at us, and we'll be a great success. Great success. And here's the thing about advertisers. They only buy what they like. The reason that Wally is still on with us, a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, people do show up time after time and say, hey, I heard your ad on, you know, KBAC. But Wally likes KBAC. Taco Ted, for years, people told him, dude, you should advertise. You should advertise on KBAC. You'd be crazy not to advertise on KBAC. For 2 years, people told Taco Ted that. Not just friends of his, not just business associates of his, not just his own advertising agency, the Joe Gardner Advertising Agency, but just random people would tell him, hey, you should advertise on KBAC. Finally, he gave it a listen, and he liked it. God bless him. And then he's advertised on KBAC, and he's advertised on KBAC ever since. Same thing with Ready Towing. People there like it. So they keep sending a check. So what I've learned about advertising is it has less to do with actual results and more to do with what people like. And this is rock. People don't generally, as much as it's hard for us to understand because we like rock, I like rock, presumably you like rock, but the vast majority of the world doesn't. They like pop music. That's why they call it pop music. It's popular music. The vast majority of people like pop music. They like new country music. Rock is like three and four slots down. And when you talk about stations like B102.7 in the market here, or The Crow, these consistently are not their top billing stations, not anywhere close. These stations exist as what they call a bonus or a flanking signal. So you have six or seven radio stations in the market, and you've got your top stations. For the Midwest communications people, their top station would be Big Country, KTWB. And then you've got your Kello, and I don't know, you over at Town Square, you've got their Hot 104.7 is consistently their top billing station, their top station over there. Then they've got that mix that's making, said the KKRC, they co-opted that that call from years gone by, and that's doing well. So the rock stations are kind of like a back burner sort of a thing. And they can build the sense of value when they talk to somebody. They're like, hey, you want to advertise on our station? Oh, my God, I love Hot 104.7. Yes. Oh, my God, I love Big Country KTWB. Oh, my God, yay. And why shouldn't they? Those stations play popular music. Rock is the redheaded stepchild of the radio spectrum nowadays. Advertisers don't like it. And they like what they've listened to. If you grew up around this town, those are the two big stations. That's where you think you're going to spend your money. Add to that, many people I've spoke to over the last 5 years trying to sell advertising have told me, yeah, you know what? We really got fucked up the ass by the Midwest people, or we really got hammered in the back door by the Town Square people. What do you mean? Well, they made us sign a 3-month contract, and it was several thousand dollars a month. So we were into it for $6,000. It cost us $6,000. We didn't sell $6 worth of new stuff, you know? We didn't get $6 worth of new customers. And we spent $6,000. So now in their head, if this great, big, gigantic radio station with their giant towers and all their bullshit propaganda, if all of that didn't get them more than $6 worth of advertising, how much advertising could a little piddly-ass streaming station? That goes back to perception of value. The Midwest people, the town square people will come in and they'll say, hey, you can advertise over here, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to give you free ads on these other stations to fill up the dead air. Well, they don't say that, but they tell you, your ad's not just going to be on KTWB. It's going to be on all of our other stations, too. Holy shit. Think of the exposure. That perception of value. The Midwest people now have this thing they print up once a month. That's complete bullshit. The great thing about it, the last page tells you that it's complete bullshit. But it's a fancy-looking report, and they're going to print this up for you every month and send it to you in the mail. Ooh! The perception of value. The perception of value. It doesn't have to be any better of a value. It's just like bars. They will put the same amount of alcohol in a glass, but the glass is heavier. And when you pick it up, it feels heavier. It's the same whiskey. It's the same amount of Coke. You don't get any additional fluid ounces. In fact, sometimes you actually get less fluid ounces. But the glass is heavy. That's the perception of value. We don't live in a society where reality matters at all. Because your perception is the only reality that matters. And I, on the other hand, am more of a results-driven reality kind of a guy. And I've lived my life pretty much in that lane. Nobody else does. But yeah, absolutely. We could certainly use... Sleazy guy in a suit can sell anything. An honest guy in a t-shirt and jeans can sell shit. Well, what I've learned is that, again, we go back to the perception thing. And I'll do this and then I'll wrap it up because we're going over now. But goes back to the perception thing. If you look like you know what the fuck you're doing, people assume that you do. Case in point. If you're running through, you just got your wallet stolen from you, right? And you see a policeman is dressed like a policeman, you immediately think, this is a person that's going to be able to help me because he's dressed like a policeman. You've learned to recognize that a person dressed this way is somebody that you can trust. Now, if it was a policeman, but he happened to be wearing a jogging suit, maybe it was his day off and he hadn't shaved that day, he's wearing like a Loverboy shirt with a barbecue stain on it, you're not going to say, hey, can you help me? Because you're thinking to yourself, this fucking guy can't help me. But he's still a policeman. But he just doesn't look like a policeman to you. It's that perception. So you'll notice this with really good salespeople. People who really are effective salespeople. They have this kind of thing about them that just rolls off them like a fog. You know? And you're like, whoa, well, shit, this guy's put together, you know? They carry themselves a certain way. They speak a certain way. They're dressed a certain way because they're wearing a uniform. They're wearing that policeman uniform. Oh, this is a policeman. I can trust this person. When we first started with KBAT, or KBAC, well, and you know what? For KBAT, for that matter, our salespeople were largely a bunch of ragtag people that Rob Feller put together. Rob Feller is an excellent salesperson. And then Bob Rose, who was the sales manager, also was an excellent sales guy. But the other salespeople we had were fucking... they weren't just... They might as well have been selling rainbow vacuum cleaners. We didn't have any ace salespeople. There was a dude named Terry. He was, you know, he had some sales background. He was, I think he still works for, he left and went to work for Clown Square. I think he's a decent sales guy. But the rest of them, complete fucking hacks. I shouldn't say hacks, but they just weren't salespeople. They were collecting a check and they were knocking on the doors, but they weren't closing sales because they weren't salespeople. I'm not a sales guy. When we went to KBAC, we started KBAC. We had Ron. We had the Rev, who's, you know, like a pushing 60-year-old guy with fried hair that's clearly dyed. You know, you got Crash. He's a 6'6" Yeti with a ponytail and, you know, jorts. Ron Keel, you know, doing the whole Ron Keel thing. And then me, I'm just some kind of knob. And nobody's going to write us a check for nothing. Because we look like a bunch of, I don't know, potheads, probably. I'm not going to give this bunch of potheads. And I haven't smoked pot in 20-some-odd years. I don't even drink that much. But coming bebopping in off the street, hey, how you doing? Who the fuck is this guy? Goofy-looking bastard? Get out of here. I'm giving my money to the good-looking guy at Midwest Communications. If I sound a little bitter, maybe I am. But I have accepted it. That's just life, man. It's just life. It's just the way it rolls. And then, you know, I guess one of the reasons why I'm a little bitter is these people shit-talk us all the time. These people, because, you know, people ask, well, I don't know, man. These rates seem a little high. What about that that KBAC guy? He seems to be doing all right. Oh, it's just some douchebag in his basement. You don't want to waste your money with him. He's a fucking clown. He's going to do nothing but... See, that's the narrative. And how do you combat that? We need a really good salesperson that's really willing to, you know, bang on the doors. I don't have any money to pay them, though. So they'd have to work on commission. I give you half of whatever you sell. How about that? That was a deal I made with Kim. Sell whatever you want. But there's... Then there's this. I won't advertise on KBAC stuff that I think sucks. I can't in good conscience do it. I can't tell my... You guys are my friends. I can't tell you guys to go to a place that I think is a ripoff or is terrible service or has lousy food. I'm not going to do that to you. Somebody asks me what I think about something, I'm going to tell them. Now, you know, hey, your opinions of these things may be different, and that's okay. But if someone asks me what I think about a place, I'm going to tell you what I think about a place. Because to bullshit somebody just to get paid for it, that's no way to treat a friend. And I'll leave you with that. So that's another reason why we don't exactly have advertising. People are like, I don't know if I want to advertise with this guy. What if he doesn't like my stuff? But no, I'm completely on board with diversifying the portfolio. AKA numbers don't lie. And liars use numbers. That's why the big corporate radios suck. They're like used car salespeople. Well, I think the people who are selling advertising for those places are a lot. I want to say this before I wrap it up. I have nothing but love for my fellow radio people that work behind the mic in production and that sort of thing in these other radio groups. These people are just trying to make a living. They're only able to do what they're able to do. You know, they're only given so much of a leash to run on in those radio environments. So I've been there. I've run on that treadmill, so I know what it's like to be on that side of the equation, and it sucks. And the money's not that much better if you're being honest. You know, you get a job doing what I'm doing right now for a rock station in a market this size, you're lucky to make $35,000 a year gross. By the time you do your taxes and your insurance and all your other shit out of that, And then for me, I'd have to get daycare for Ava and that sort of thing. Well, I'm right back to what I'm making now. So, and I got to leave the house. You know, see, then I got to go. I'm adding all this other layer of complication to my life for no extra juice. Otherwise, the truth is I probably would have gone and done something different by now. If there was a radio gig out there that I, well, let me put it this way. If there was a radio gig out there that I was reasonably sure was still going to be there in 5 years, because they're cutting people left and right. Every time you turn around, these corporations are cutting more people. I think the wheels are coming off the bus of terrestrial radio. I just genuinely do. Crash sent me a story now just last week. This week, actually. It was this week. Sega Communications or something like that. They had four rock stations in four different markets, and they fired everybody in all four of these stations in all four of these cities, and they're going to run the same syndicated programming across all four of the stations. So four radio stations, four different cities, and four stations worth of people out of a job so they can run syndicated programming. Because the money's just not there. The stations can't afford to pay these people. So the people that are staying alive in these radio gigs are working their asses off, they're working crazy hours, and they're not getting paid dick for it. So I don't want to throw shade on those folks. But on the same token, the upper management and the people who are running these things, they really ruined the thing that I love, and that's radio. The corporations really sucked the soul out of radio, which is why I'm proud to do what we do at KBAC. I'm proud to be as honest and upfront, and I'm proud to be able to play the music you guys want to hear. I'm proud to have that flexibility. I'm proud to be able to tell you something fucking sucks if it fucking sucks. And I got the best listeners on the planet. And thank you. Thank you for joining me. It's 8:17, though. Time for me to wrap this thing up. But I'll be back bright and early tomorrow at 9 a.m. to do the regular show. Hopefully you'll join me there. I've got that Sugarloaf is coming up right now. And then we've got All of My Love, Mr. Jack Russell. Jack Russell's Great White coming up right after this Sugarloaf song. If there's something you want to hear, send me a message and I will drop it in the stack for you before I skedaddle out the door. You can listen to this podcast and all the other podcasts we've done up till now at kbacradio.com. Just go there, click on the Crazy Frank Live link, and then bada boom, there you are. You can also find Crazy Frank Live on pretty much everywhere you find podcasts. Just search for Crazy Frank Live. The Spotify's and the Apple Music's and I don't know. I've never listened to a podcast in my life, so I don't have the foggiest idea where you find them. But I've submitted them to them all. We should be there. If not, let me know, and I'll send somebody a strongly worded letter. Until tomorrow at 9 a.m., kids, be safe out there, and I'll catch you tomorrow. Peace.
It rocks. You'll hear it here. KBAC.rocks.